We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is with Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm Giancarlo Navas, and not with me is Brian Goins. Brian is busy not being a good co-host. So here we have two guests from HeatBeatMiami.com. We have Harrison, whose last name I can't pronounce. Harrison, how do you say your last name?
Citrin.
I can't yet. Like, I couldn't read that. Like, it's so weird. You'll see it in the description. It's the weirdest spelled. How many people butcher your last name?
It's been butchered since I've been born, so yeah.
And we have Jack Alfonso, whose name is much easier to pronounce. Welcome, yeah, Jack. Yeah, that's easy. I can spell that.
All right.
I don't even have to, like, when I put your Twitter things in the, when you write articles, I can just, like, type yours manually, unlike Harrison's. I have to, like, copy and paste.
This is impossible. I thought it was, like, a joke last name for...
No, if you it's Polish. If you add an A to the end, Citrina is lemon in Polish. So Harrison Lemon, if it makes you feel better.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
So here we're gonna start. I want to talk about the last game of the season because it was hilarious. Like, it was fun. Like, Henry Walker played 40 plus minutes. Like, what was the funniest thing for you guys watching that game?
For me personally, it's Michael Beasley going off. I think he had 38 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals. That hasn't been done since Dwayne Wade in 2011, if I recall correctly. It's crazy.
Harrison, what'd you like?
I mean, Jack's bringing the stats, but I really, really enjoyed the Henry Walker shimmy after he hit that three.
It was just Andrew, like, Walker.
He knew it was coming in. He had brought back the Antoine Walker. So,
do you think he knew he was doing the Antoine Walker? He just did something.
Nah, he just was feeling it, man. When you hit a big shot like that, I think you just do whatever the hell you want, and then you deal with the consequences afterwards.
Was that a big shot? Like, can we put big shots in quotations? Like,
I think anytime you hit a shot, a game-winning shot in an NBA game, you can call it a big shot, especially when you were playing in the D League for the whole year. I think you can call it a big shot.
Do you think they knew the Nets were winning at that point?
I think they heard in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Or around then, they heard the Nets were up 10 and they had to be supposed
to win this, guys. Well, I don't know.
They win now.
Yeah, I mean, sorry.
Go. No, go.
No, it was because they were really, they brought on, it was an epic third quarter in that game. I mean, I thought they might have heard that the Nets were losing, so they're like, we got to get this close, just make it, and then they kind of turned it on at the end. But yeah, well, we're up by 18, 19 points. It was an epic third quarter for the Heat season.
I didn't get to watch the whole game, but it's like scoreboard watching. I fell victim to wanting them to lose, and I was like, man, is this the only game they're gonna hold the lead in? Like, this is gonna be it. This is gonna be the only game that these people don't blow a double-digit lead to a bad team.
I was worried about that too. I was thinking for a while because I saw Brooklyn's losing to Orlando.
How did that happen?
Going to hold a lead, and it's going to be when we don't need them to.
That was going to be the ultimate, of course. Like the season of course. That was going to be.
Turned out good though.
Yeah. That's gonna be.
Would you be offended if like you're playing in that game, like, like as a player, like you must be like, man, like they know, right? Like they know.
They have to.
Right, but, like, man, that must feel so. I mean, like, it's cool. Like, you get the stage to yourself. You play 40 minutes. That part's fun. But like, when coach tells you, like, y'all are playing, like, six of you, and you're like, okay, well, what about the other guys? No, that's okay. It's okay. They can't get hurt. Like, wait, what? Like Hassan, and Hassan's a young guy, and he didn't play. And it's like, well, which by the way, that guy has kept up pace since January. Like, he's kept it up and built on it, like, all year, and that was so surprising to me.
I mean, for me, I thought it was interesting because I listened to Lebatard a lot on the radio, and it was funny that he was just doubting Hassan the whole time. His skill set is not that hard to duplicate, right? It's the guy is an incredible shot blocker, goes up and rebounds the basketball. He's actually – you see him fighting with teammates for the ball. He always wants the basketball. And then his skill set on offense is really good. I mean, his footwork's good. He needs to work on that a little bit, but he's got a nice baby hook. He's got good moves around the basket, can catch the ball, which can't remember the last time I've had a big guy that can actually catch the ball and finish at the rim. He's great. I think what the Heat have to worry about with him is how much money he's going to command the season after.
Well, I guess the question coming up is, like, how much better can he get? And, like, if he gets – like, we saw – I mean, it was very clear how much better he was offensively. You know, next year when he has better defensive players around him and when he has an offseason to work, how much better can he get that you're the Heat? You're like, I can't let him walk no matter what.
I think if he duplicates this and – I don't see any reason he shouldn't. They have to pay him as much money as he wants. There's this kind of big man is so rare in the NBA right now. You don't get a 7-footer who can catch, make jump hooks, block shots like Dikembe Mutombo, and just dominate.
He's facing up. Like, he faces, like, he catches the ball. Like, if he doesn't get the position he wants, he faces up and he'll take a dribble and turn around and get into, but like that, like, to me has been the most impressive thing. Like, when he doesn't catch the ball where he wants, he gets into the position he needs to by his footwork and with a dribble or whatever. Like, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, I agree with Jack. If Hassan duplicates what he does this season next year, you pay him whatever. I mean, I think you can build a pretty good squad around Goran, Whiteside, Bosch, and then I assume Wade will come back for probably another year or two after this contract ends, and you can build around those guys. I think Hassan's one weakness on offense is just, man, that guy will not pass out of any kind of double, triple team. That's something he just needs to work on, you know, and it's something he can work on. I don't think he's – I know he doesn't have a lot of assists. I also don't think that means he's a bad passer. It's just something you need to think about when. And I think as the more touches he gets, the more comfortable he'll be with kicking it back out, knowing he'll get the ball again. I just think it's more of like, I might not get the ball again. Let me do something with this touch rather than let me kick it back out to a teammate.
I mean, with him, I mean, the offense is there. You're the passing. And also, like, who is he going to pass to out of the post this year? Like, there are times that, yeah, you had, like, Dragic weak side open, and you had, like, but, like, no, he's like, I'm not passing to Henry Walker. Like, that's another thing to think about. Like, if they have a better shooter or better options on the floor to pass out of that post, I think that might also change things a little bit, too.
I think if you give him the summer to work with the training camp, work in training camp with, you know, the roster, get comfortable with it. He knows he has a secure spot on the team. And I think part of it was his limited touches. You got to take advantage of it every time and score whenever you get the chance. But I think as he works with the team this summer, gets more comfortable in his role, he'll be more comfortable passing, maybe. That's just my assumption.
Would you want to run offense through him? Because I've heard that discussion being thrown around a lot, especially when you have Bosch coming back next year and coming off Wade's year, and you're going to have Dragic. Like, is that going to be a guy that you want to run offense through? late in games?
I see. I think you could run the offense through him, but you brought up a good point before. It's the confidence to kick that ball back out, because you can send him to the post, but the postman has to do a couple things. One, is he in a good position to get a shot? Two, is he in a good – if he doesn't like the position, can he pass it back out to repost? And I think that's something where he just needs to learn. Reposting is important as a big man. You get a position you don't like, pass it back out, repost down low. And then two, yeah, why not? If you can kick it out to Bosch or Dang, or I'm really hope the Heat, we can talk about him in a little, but really need to get some shooters this offseason. Yeah, if you can kick it out to a guy in the corner, you can run the offense through him. It's something that they weren't comfortable with this year, but with the training camp and preseason, it is a possibility, especially with his dominance down low.
I mean – and I also want to talk about him defensively, because, like, I think as good as he's been on offense, I think the defense has kind of slipped a little bit. You know, obviously he's had to be less aggressive with more minutes, but I think we've all seen at times, sometimes he'll really miss a rotation badly. He's too focused on boxing out a guy that he'll let a guy go to the rim. I think we've seen that a couple times. Like, did you see anything on defense that you're like, okay, that guy has to get better at that, because that can't happen anymore?
I think part of it was just conditioning. I mean, he hasn't played that many minutes ever, and I'm sure his legs got tired. He's getting back down in the post pretty easily, and that's definitely something he needs to work on this summer. And as for him just missing a guy driving to the rim, I think part of that is he had Udonis Haslam next to him instead of Chris Bosh. I mean, that's a big downgrade. No offense to Udonis, but
no,
I think definitely having that guy next to you next year should be huge for him. It just will make him look better all around.
Roberts and Bosh, by the way, because McRoberts and Bosh definitely had like a defensive rating of 95 at the time that they spent together, and that's like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might have slipped a little bit. I don't know if you're talking about, like, post-hand injury or before. I mean, because I noticed a drop-off after the injury, but I think he was just really concerned about not trying to get hurt. He was really, really protecting the hand in almost every aspect. And when plays were kind of – when he first came in, he would attack everything. Anyone that came to the rim, he went after. And after the injury, he kind of scaled it back a bit. If someone was going to the rim, he might have let them go just to make sure that he didn't cause any further damage to that hand.
Well, that was another thing. Like, he actually had a couple injury problems. He had the ankle stuff, and then he had the hand stuff, and he missed quite a few games for a guy that came halfway through the season. So, I mean, we still haven't seen him 100% healthy from when he really started to improve his offensive game. We haven't really seen him 100% healthy because he had a hand in a glove.
Yeah, I don't think that's something to...
Hold on, wait. That was... Nobody wanted to trip over somebody else, so I stopped, and it was like... Sometimes it's lag from... Because we're doing this podcast on Google Hangouts, so we can all... So sometimes it's like... That time it was like, well, are you going to go? Or am I going
to go? I've been cutting people off the whole time, so I'm just waiting now, and then that's kind of what I'm doing.
Oh, my God. Oh, it'll come. It'll come as time goes on, so.
Definitely.
Well, he's going to get more minutes with better players, and I know we talked about that, and not only on defense but on offense. Like, he's going to get more reps with Bosch and McRoberts. Like, that McRoberts high-low game is going to be really nice.
Definitely. I mean, I'm really excited to see what Spoelstra does this this summer with all these new healthy guys. I mean, you just look at last year who he had in training camp. He didn't have McRoberts. I mean, Dragic and Whiteside weren't on the team yet. It was just kind of – it wasn't at all what it is now. And I know Harrison hates Spoelstra, but I think he's an X's and O's genius. And – give him the summer to work around this roster, and he maximizes that talent.
Yeah, I don't – okay, I don't, well, let me just clear the air. I definitely don't hate Spo. I think he's one of the better coaches in the NBA. I think he has flaws that seem to come out more often than not. But, I mean, if you're taking coach in the NBA, I don't know. You're probably taking Spo right after Pop. So it's not that I hate Spo. I've watched this guy for many, many years. I've met Spo before in person. I just think that, like, he's – there are just times where he gets stubborn with his rotations, or there's just so much loyalty to a player, like, don't even get me started on a Mario Chalmers or something like that. And it's just it gets bad. So, no, I don't hate Spo. I think he's an excellent basketball coach. I think there's just some times where he needs to adjust and he's a little slow. That's more of my Spo issue.
Do you not like, hold on, wait a second. Like, I've heard that before, and sometimes it's visible, but, like, I thought in the finals, especially against San Antonio for the, you know, the time that they won, I thought that he did as good a coaching job as Pop in that series. I thought every game he made an adjustment, and it worked, and they really did go back and forth. And, like, I think that that's one of his better coaching jobs against the best coach in the league.
Sure. I mean, he did a nice job that series. We you know, we made adjustments. We played better. But I think, like, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a negative person. I think of the times where it didn't go that well. Like, Rick Carlisle ran circles around him in the Dallas series. And yeah, you could literally blame that entire series on LeBron. Just, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well, no, I think it is on him. Yeah.
Like, well, you'll never be able to convince me what happened. I've never seen the best basketball player in the world just stand in a corner. Like, he was legitimately afraid. But,
I don't know about afraid, but, like, they, like, self-combine. I don't know. I can't explain it. Like, I watched – and I've seen film on that, like, today, and after Wade got hurt, like, it just like
yeah. Went,
oh, this is not a visual medium. Wow, that was funny. For the audience, I did we're on video chat, and I did, like, a plane with my hand and, like, crashing and burning. And I like it hit me like, wait, you guys as the audience can't see that, only Jack and Harrison.
No, listen. So let me just to be clear, seriously, I think Spo is a very, very good coach. There aren't that many good coaches in the NBA. There's not that many. I mean, I think I can name maybe 5 to 7. I just really don't like that many coaches in the league. Even guys that get a lot of credit, like a Thibodeau, I think the way he manages minutes is just absurd, and I think he's had a lot to do with a lot of injury problems on that team.
Well, I don't think he's very good either. Like,
his offense are terrible.
Like, what has he done?
I think he's very good defensively, and so that's what he was the big reason why the Celtics won the ring.
When he was with best defensive players, 40 minutes a game. Like, yeah, you're gonna be good in defense when you do that.
I think the issue with coaching in sports is, like, it's really hard to separate the two, because obviously you need the players to play well in order for the coach to get credit, and you need, so when a coach designs an amazing play, for example, out of a timeout, if the guys don't execute, why would the coach get credit for something that didn't work out? But the coach can still be good at designing the play, and so. I think that's kind of where, you know, it's a very chicken or the egg argument, because you don't know which one it is. But I think Spo's got a good basketball mind, and I think he's a smart guy, and he's done I think he did an amazing job managing personalities on the Heat team the last 4 years. Now it's about, we got to get rotations together, got to play the right guys at the right time. And man, if Dwayne Wade's going to chuck up shots at the end of the game, you can't put the ball in Dwayne's hand. I'm telling, like, it just can't happen.
Wait, I have to ask you guys something. I believe it was the Orlando game when Spo sat Hassan in the fourth quarter, like the last 5 minutes, and Wade was just like, he was the spirit of Kobe Bryant. Like, do you guys know the game I'm talking about?
It's like last time season,
we lost that game though by one, right?
No, they won. It was the last game of the season that Miami played, the last home game against Orlando.
Okay.
Do you guys remember that? And at the end of the game, Wade was just, every time he got the ball, he was shooting.
He's been doing that a lot recently, and when it works, it's beautiful basketball. Portland game's evidence of that, but I feel like half the time, or more than half the time, it's just not working. His mid-range jumper's not falling, and it looks ugly.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. Oh, sorry.
No, go.
I thought you were talking about, I was at this Orlando game that we lost by one at home, and Wade was incredible in the fourth quarter, and then the last 2 minutes, everything he had been doing was going well, so he kept doing it, and he took three terrible shots in a row. We ended up losing by one to Orlando. You really got to be, you want Wade to do well and shoot, but Wade's better when he's creating. That's Dwayne Wade, man. When he's driving to the hole and kicking out to other guys and taking the shot when it's there, that's the Dwayne Wade you want. When it's just shooting, you know, 20-footers, it's just not, it's not as good as it can be.
I was shocked on how bad his mid-range shot had been all year. I think it was like 39%. I did a piece on that for Heat Beat, and I was looking at his mid-range, and, like, I think we can all say that, I mean, without the data, at least I thought the mid-range looked pretty good, and I'm like, he's shooting 39% from mid-range? Like, really? Like, that's awful.
He takes some really bad ones, though. I don't think that's indicative of his talent as a mid-range shooter. That's just his shot selection late games. He's forced into some bad ones.
The bad shots, like I was thinking, were those like those turnaround fadeaways that he's shooting 56% on. Like yeah. I couldn't believe that. Like that's a shot. I'm like, why are you taking that? And he's really good at it.
I think the issue sometimes with Wade is, well, like Jack's saying, shot selection. Additionally, it's when it's like in the flow of the offense, right? Sometimes it just like come down and pull up for two, and you're just thinking, that's a terrible shot, even if it goes in. So
see, the pull up, what he's good at, he's shooting over 50% on pull up jumpers, and I'm looking at the shot chart, like he's good on those pull up shots. It's like I'm talking about the step backs and just those flat footed jumpers that he takes is what's bad. Like those jumpers that he comes off the pick, and he'll go to his left, and then he'll shoot. Like why are you taking that? Like you're not good at that. Like that's more my problem.
See, I don't know. I've coached basketball for many, many years, so my issue is more there are – even when shots go in, they might necessarily not be good shots, right? I remember, man, when we had LeBron, he just like pulled for three, and you're thinking, that is a stupid shot, and it would go in. And that ends up hurting the offense because you think that's good and that you'll keep doing that, but the statistics are not there. And so I think a lot of it is in the flow of the offense. Like when Wade is off the ball, which I think he really needs to work on this summer, especially because I assume Dragic coming back, Wade off the ball is incredible. And so what he did the last 3 years with LeBron is some of the best, you know, changing your game of basketball I've ever seen. And he became so good at it. Wade and Dane got to cut off the ball for Dragic, and that's only going to make the team better. And it's something that he needs to continue to work on and cut down a little bit on the mid-range shots, in my opinion.
Well, what do you do with this? For anybody his age, over 30 years old, there's only 5 players that have had a higher usage percentage than him at his age. So, Jack, what do you do with that? Like, he's being asked to do an unprecedented amount at his age. Do you think that has to – I mean, it does play into why he takes bad shots, but it is – like, I don't know. What do you do with that?
Well, I don't think that was the plan going into this season. I think definitely the workload is not – it's far from ideal, but – you just look at the injuries they had. McRoberts was supposed to be a huge part of the offense. You got Bosch, who was supposed to be working off the elbow constantly. That was taken away from you. And then mid-season, you trade for Goron, and he's supposed to be the main guy on offense now, but you can't just push him into a system he doesn't know and tell him to run everything. It takes time to get that cohesion and chemistry. I think next season, you know, with health assumed, he should have a much lower usage, hopefully. I mean, that's just...
Do you think Goron played well? Because, like, I know we know Goron's a good player, but do you think... Because there were a lot of times that I was watching, and I'm not saying that Goran Dragic is a very, very good basketball player. Do you think he played well, like, in his time with Miami?
I sense a loaded question, and I feel it from the way you asked. I mean, the answer is yes, he played well. Did he play as well as he could have? No. And that comes a lot from literally being thrown into a new system halfway through the season, more than halfway through the season. You're talking about trying to work with Wade, and even though Wade is not a selfish basketball player, working with Dwayne Wade is not the easiest thing in the world. You saw that when LeBron came, they needed a season to figure out how the hell to work together because they literally took turns that first year. It was Wade, LeBron, Wade, LeBron. It was kind of similar with Dragic and Wade. Dragic needs the ball in his hands. Wade likes it in his hands, but Wade's got to learn to go more off the ball. It's going to make them both better basketball players. And I think – I know this is crazy hyperbole and you guys are going to laugh at me. I don't know if I've seen a point guard finish at the rim better than Goran Dragic in my life. So I'm 27 now. I've seen a lot of point guards play in the NBA. The man is crafty as hell at the basket, and I mean, you could tell by the percentage he shoots at the rim, but it's just – it's absurd. So, yeah, he played well. Could he play better? Of course. And an offseason with the Heat is only going to make him better. And I love his game for the Heat. I think I bought a shirt. I'm all in on Goran Dragic. So.
All in. Yeah, I got his shirt. He's all in.
Yeah. That's how you know.
What do you do with 16 points, 17 points on 12 shots with 5 assists and 26 games for the Heat? What do you do with that?
I don't think that's – I think those numbers are kind of misleading. I think, like Harrison said, it's just he was shoved into a new system. Working with Wade is – I think he'll be a good fit with Wade, but you could see multiple times he passed to a wide open Wade beyond the arc and expect Wade to shoot it. And that's not Wade's game, obviously. And as he learns that, I think they'll work well together and those numbers will go up inevitably. And about that hyperbole, I think I agree with it, honestly. I'd say, just as a qualifier, he's the best below the rim finisher I've ever seen.
What does that mean, below the rim finish?
Not a high flyer. He's not Russell Westbrook throwing it down. He's doing layups and just finishing through traffic instead of, you know, rising over people, posterizing people.
He's the best white finisher.
He's the best white guy finisher I've ever seen.
You're trying to get.
Yeah, make it about race. Good job.
Yeah.
It's about race.
Yeah. Sure, man. The Slovenian. He's European, man. He's strong, but, though. Like, I'm always surprised.
Deceptively strong. Contact.
But do you mean what is it – sorry, did you mean, like, what it meant for the Heat as a player or, like, what contract he's going to demand this offseason? Were you getting into offseason stuff?
Funny that you say that and that I want to get into. Like, if – let's say Dragic says, I want a max or I leave. Like, do you give it to him?
No.
Jack's shaking his head.
Oh, so that's funny. I completely disagree. All right, Jack, let's go.
Well, a max contract, I don't know how much that would take up exactly, but if you want any flexibility for the future, that kind of ruins you. I don't think he demands a max contract. I think he demands close to one, a lot of money. I'm fine with paying him a lot of money, but I don't know about a max contract.
I don't think he'll ask for it, but it's just like, what if he does?
I don't think he does. I think if he does, that's complicated. Gonna have to try to talk him down. But I'm glad I'm not the GM, and that would Harrison, like, I'd have to think about that for a
while. Harrison, if he wants a max, what do you do? Like, do you?
Yeah, you give it to him. It's not even a question. Like, you give up 2 draft picks to get him. You wouldn't have given up 2 draft picks for half a season. Let's see. Here's what I'm thinking. The 5th year's huge that Miami can offer him. That's just big. So I think the max numbers are like 5 at 105. That's a lot of money for Goran Dragic, right? But
yeah.
So maybe you offer him lower. Maybe you do like a 5 for 8, like a James Harden deal, like a 5 for 85 or something. Or what was James Harden? 5 for 90, something like that, right? Yes. A little lower than the max. He'll probably take that. Miami's a great place to live. It's a great place to be. No income state tax, which if you really did want New York or LA, that's a huge advantage that you have, and it's a leveraging tool. And
he knows because he played in Houston, so he knows how that no state tax works.
Yeah, no, of course, and it's also no one leaves Pat Riley. There's one guy Riley.
Hold on.
There's one crazy person who left Pat Riley to go back to freeze his ass off.
James Jones,
you know,
I miss him so much.
Up in Cleveland, but no one leaves. It's just, it doesn't happen. People stay here forever.
Well, they used to say that about the Lakers too, and then Dwight's like, bye. Like,
yeah, but it wasn't, but you look at the Heat, man, every Heat game I go to, I got Alonzo Mourning sitting right here. I got, you know, Tim was always there before his son started playing for the Knicks. So maybe they'll come down to the Heat eventually, but Haslam will be, you know, Haslam's got a job afterwards. Wade can do whatever he wants. It's truly a Heat family, right? I mean, the ads this year have been a little annoying with the Heat lifer. I think it's
how bad are those commercials? How bad are they?
I feel like that
girl and then the guy with the hats.
I just feel like they ask people who aren't actually Heat lifers. They should actually find people that are Heat lifers.
So bad. I'm uncomfortable when I watch them.
I was just saying they should get Spoon to go on a rant about why he's a Heat lifer.
I hate box scores and Jeffrey Lloyd.
I know you guys. I think that guy makes sense. I know he's a crazy person, but
I like him.
Yeah,
he's just crazy.
he's mad salty, man. That guy hates hard. Like, he, it's fun.
Yeah.
He backed me up after Omar Kelly's legion of fans. I didn't know he had one. Like, they all attacked me when I made fun of Omar Kelly.
There are people who like Omar Kelly?
I couldn't believe it. Like, I think – have you guys noticed he has, like, some weird vendetta toward the Heat? Like, he's going out of their way to say how bad they are. And I'm like, dude, they're underachievers. Congratulations. Like, every day he, like, set – like, and he doesn't give it any qualifiers or anything. And then I'm like, dude, what's your problem? And he got mad. It was funny.
I think that's the thing with a lot of Dolphins beat writers. For some reason, they're angry that their team's terrible and everybody else
is boring.
Yeah. The Dolphins are boring and not good, and they haven't won in forever. And the Heat have been good for a long time, and now that they're having a down season, a lot of the beat writers, I feel like, are going, see, they suck too. Come watch the Dolphins.
I don't get it. It's weird. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
It is a weird thing.
Yeah, it's solely based on jealousy. There's no other reason to be salty. But seriously, anything he says, if I ever agree with Omar Kelly, I feel really weird about myself.
Like,
I
have to go. You need a shower.
I have like two showers. It's a really weird feeling to. Yeah. So, just the Heat are in good shape. We're fine. Like, truthfully, we were talking about it earlier, but that last night of the season could not have went better for the Heat. Yeah, they got they'll likely have the pick. The Bulls won, who will give the Cavs a challenge. The Pacers got knocked out. I hate the Pacers. So it was a good night for the Heat.
I want to get to the pick in a second. And I have a follow-up for that Dragic question, which is, let's say you give Dragic the max or close to the max. Do you give Hassan the max? Are those two decisions married or are they not? Because then,
they're not married to each other because the salary cap is going to go up quite a bit in 2016.
But you give them both the max. You give them both the max?
If they want, if that's what it'll take, yeah. I don't think you can let either guy leave. The Dragic thing is more about the picks you gave up for me. I don't think you can give up. I know. Listen, Riley doesn't like draft picks, blah, 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 pick. The Twitter debate.
Jack loves draft picks. Look at him smiling.
I'm with him too. I think if you draft well, it helps. I mean, the argument that the Heat haven't drafted well, so they won't in the future, is a ridiculously stupid argument. I mean, if you translate that to anything else in life, it doesn't even make sense. So my thing is, I think Dragic is one of the best point guards in the NBA. You could pay Bosch at his salary at 24 a year. You could pay Dragic at 20 and what Hassan at max would be like at 15 or 16. You'd still have money. I'm assuming the salary cap's going to get up to $85-90 million.
Reportedly $100 million.
So then what are we even arguing about? It's not going to be a big deal. There's still going to be guys that will take the vet minimum. You're still going to be able to get quality shooters at a price. And if this draft pick, God, we need a shooter so bad. I've been looking at just who would fit into that range. Then
you want to get a young shooter, or would you rather get a guy who's played before? Because I think you're better off going for a young wing over a shooter.
Well, I want a young wing that can shoot. Can I have it all? I mean, that's like.
But those young wings that can shoot, they usually have to adjust to the NBA line, and it takes a second. Like, Jack, I know that you're more into the development league stuff and all that. Like, how long does that take for guys who are coming out of college and coming out of the D League to be like NBA ready shooters?
Well, you're not drafting a Kyle Korver. There's no Kyle Korver in this draft that you can put on your team and he's immediately shooting 40% from beyond the arc. I think there are guys that can definitely develop into good shooters. I think Kelly Oubre, I don't know how to pronounce that, from Kansas. And he's got a nice release and eventually I think he'll be a really good shooter. I think RJ Hunter from
Coach Chair.
Yeah. Georgia State, right?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah. He's going to be a good shooter eventually. I just think if you want a spot-up shooter in the draft right now, you're going to have to be patient with that. You don't draft guys expecting to fill that need immediately.
But see, like, that's my thing. Like, you're on the back end of Wade's career, and like, we don't know how long that's gonna be, and Dragic is what is he, 30? Like, how old is this guy? This guy's 28 years old. So, you know, you're kind of in win now mode, aren't you? Like, next year, I mean, it's the best time to try to win. So I don't know. That's my only objection to that.
No. So the thing with Dragic is, yes, he's 30, but minutes-wise, he's not.
I'm sorry. He's 28 years old.
Oh, he's 28. All right. I thought he was
29 in a month.
But minute-wise, he hasn't played a ton because coming up, he was behind behind Nash. And, you know, so the minute
It wasn't until his fourth year that he started playing over 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I think he has three less seasons than someone else who'd be at 28. On top of that, it is win now mode for the Heat. They're going to bring everyone back next year. We're hoping Bosch comes back healthy, and they said it'll probably start being ready by September. And I was thinking about it in the shower where I'd do my best thinking. I mean, the Eastern Conference it's about
bad, awful, atrocious.
So it's going to be interesting next year because I think Heat are top three easily, maybe higher than three. And all these teams are going to stay around. The Celtics will be good next year. I think Brooklyn will fall out, and maybe
will
Pacers
be good next year. Will they be just like okay next year? Because I don't even think they're good now.
Nah, I think they've done a really good job of what they have, and Brad Stevens is. I like Brad Stevens as a coach, so I think. Yeah, well, I think what I'm saying is I think the Eastern Conference as it is right now is almost set. Maybe you got the Bucks. The Bucks will be getting Jabari Parker back. They're good. I'm saying the teams as they are will probably stay the same. The Heat probably replace the Nets, and then maybe the Pacers will replace someone else. But these are the teams.
Better too.
Who?
The Knicks are going to have a lot of money as well. So it'd be nice.
Yeah, garbage.
Yeah. they're garbage, Jacks.
Yeah, no, so that's what it is. Win now. I don't know why everyone's loving Cleveland. There's just games. Look, they're an amazing offense. The trades they made turned out really well when I thought they were dumb. I mean, I'll admit that I didn't think they were good.
Because like LeBron's really good. I think the J.R. Smith thing helped more than the Mozgov thing, to be honest with you.
It's also going to be interesting to see what happens when they do this HGH testing next year because I'm convinced that LeBron's on HGH.
Oh, That's my second
hot take, right? Convince. You come down to Miami for 2 weeks and suddenly you're bigger, stronger, and better. Nah, HGH. That's what they call it.
Jack, what's funny?
Just, he's a hater. He's hating on LeBron. He's hating on Cleveland. I agree with him on a point. I think Cleveland goes through lulls where they just ISO a ton and they don't look good. But when they're on,
they're good at ISO.
Great.
Like,
but that's every team. That's Miami the past 4 years. When they were on, they were on. When they were off, they were –
Cleveland's good at ISO though. Like I know that like we don't like ISO, but like they ISO a lot of like the top five offense in the league. Like I know like I can like people say they're a bad offense because they ISO. I'm like when they're a good offense, they just ISO. Like they're good at ISO. Like I don't know.
I'm not worried about their offense. They're gonna score points. I mean, that's not the big issue. The issue with the Cavs is like their defense is shoddy. Even with getting Mozgov, I mean, it's not that great. You've seen games where teams just tear them apart. So
well, you're depending on Mozgov. That's the problem.
Right. I mean, like Mozgov is not – his stats are good, but I don't see him as like this amazing defender. And so – yeah. I mean, well, I'm not – you guys are looking at stats. I'm just kind of – I'm freeballing here. But no, I really – I think they're going to have trouble. I think the Bulls are going to give him a lot of trouble. Obviously, it always depends on if Derrick Rose is in a suit or not. And – and the Hawks are a lot better than people think. I don't know why the Hawks get zero credit for. I mean, so what? They're saying they don't have a superstar, but what Al Horford does on the court is incredible, and they got a lot of pieces that play well together.
I have two things to say about the one. The Hawks thing. All you need to know is the Spurs just gutted Miami last year in the finals. The Hawks played the exact same way, and they can do the same thing to Cleveland this year, and just watch for that. And about the win now thing you said earlier, well, it is a win now mode. I think that's part of why you draft a high upside guy, is because eventually with Wade leaving soon, you're going to want him to mentor a guy who can eventually take over the franchise with Hassan maybe.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In a wing, like not necessarily a shooter, but like if you're going to invest the pick and like a good wing that can actually, be something down the line.
Definitely.
Somebody, okay. Oh, sorry, Jack.
Oh, no, I was just going to say somebody who can take over the franchise eventually, or has potential to, instead of a guy who just fills a need now.
Or I mean, a partner for Hassan. Like, I think that
that's what
we should be looking at. Like, who's going to be a good partner for him down the road?
Yeah, I think, like, when I say shooter, I know people are thinking, ah, you just get a guy that can literally shoot the ball. No, I want a guy that can do a lot of things, but being able to shoot the three is vital to the Heat team. We had zero spacing when Bosch went out, and so the ability to shoot and make the three ball is crucial for whoever the pick is. So that's what I mean when I say a shooter.
Well, the game's changing so much that, like, you kind of need a guy who can shoot. I mean, now, like, you kind of have to shoot off the dribble. It's kind of getting to that point, right? Like, you need to have a guy that can shoot off the dribble and defend. If not, teams aren't going to look at you. Like, you can be as talented as you. Like, look at Beasley. Like, Beasley's an offensive talent. And probably a couple years ago, Beasley might be getting big minutes on a good team. But nowadays, in an era of pace and space ball and really athletic defensive guys, like, let's look at the Sixers and look what the Bucks are doing, right? Like, I know that we can laugh at them, but they're just getting guys who can shoot who are really, really long and really, really fast, really, really athletic. Like, have you seen that? I mean, you guys see those teams. Like, they're extraterrestrials. Like, how long their arms are. They're all tall. Like, it's just that's where the league is going, and you're going to need to – I hope they can catch on and say we're going to need a guy like that going forward.
Well, if there's a Greek freak in this draft, I want him.
Yeah, well,
who?
But there's not – once in a generation, or, you know, once in the history of the world, there's a guy like Antetokounmpo coming out.
He's baby Durant.
Yeah, he's baby Durant, but...
Yeah, I mean, you guys might laugh at me, but I think every team needs, like, a Damari Carroll, man. I think that's the perfect guy you need. You need a guy that can take the other guy's best... Yo, you can take the other guy's the best defender and do your best to make him struggle. You don't. This lockdown defender thing is ridiculous. You can't lock down NBA players, but you can make them struggle, make them work.
I don't know. Kawhi's putting that theory to the test.
Yeah, Kawhi's a fucking animal. Don't get me started.
That guy's I I've been wrong on Kawhi. Like I said, I mean, I don't even know if you give him the max yet or whatever. But like, man, that guy's really good at defense.
You give Kawhi whatever he wants. You guys are so afraid of the max. The max is given
I'm
to a lot
of
guys.
I'm afraid of giving Kawhi the max. Do you trust Kawhi to get you a shot down the stretch? Like, I don't. Do you? Like a good one.
Well, eventually, I think.
Eventually, that's a lot of money for eventually.
Well, down the road with the new TV deal, the max is going to look a lot better. And about.
Are you there? Did he freeze?
We lost him.
Did we lose him? Hello? Jack? Harrison?
I'm here.
Okay.
Do you guys cut off?
Yeah. Keep going.
All right. I was going to say about Goran, I'm not afraid of giving him the max. I'm just saying, you think about it. Just think of what his future with the team is, because at this age, this is about the age when Steve Nash joined the Suns and changed that franchise for forever. Just those.
It changed basketball, really.
Mike D'Antoni.
Like, they ushered in this whole pace and space, spread pick and roll that is. And to be honest, that's what the Heat used to really model their offense the last 4 years.
Yeah, I think Goran, I'm not afraid of giving him the max. I think with the new TV deal, those contracts will look a lot better than they do like right now. But I just think if you're asking me right now, do I want to give Hassan max money? If it's an either or situation, do I want to give Hassan all the money or do I want to give Goran all the money? I say Hassan every day. And that's not.
Oh, I'd want to give Hassan the money as well.
That's not me discrediting Goran, but that position's more important. That guy's more rare. It's a point. There are so many point guards in the NBA who can
be productive. Hold on. And, you know, you say that guy, and I'm thinking about it now. Like, we're in a new era. I mean, Hassan more for his age. I mean, he's 3 years younger, but is a big more important today than that guy? I don't know if Dragic, if Hassan, I mean, Hassan has the potential thing, but like, is a center more important than a point guard nowadays? Like,
I don't actually know. Not sure how to exactly answer your question because I don't know if there are less centers than point guards, and so from just a business theory, like, you kind of want the rarer commodity. Hassan changes the game defensively, which was big for the Heat when he came in this year. You could see how much better the team was defensively when he was on the floor and how he
actually
stopped everything.
Now that you say that, I want to cite a number that I wanted to get to before. For guys that average over a block and a half a game, Hassan is seventh in the league in field goal percentage at the rim at 46%. You know, that's pretty good. For a guy that is aggressive at the rim, for a guy that tries to block shots, he's seventh in the league in field goal percentage at the rim, and the only guys ahead of him are like Gobert, Ibaka, Bogut, Hibbert, Noel, you know, really good guys.
No, see, that's what I agree with Jack, and I agree with you. If you're saying you can have Hassan or you can have Goran, then you go with Hassan. But I really think if you're talking about what figures to be maybe a $100 million cap, you can have it all. I know you normally can, and that's just a cliche. But you can have Bosh at the max, you can have Hassan at the max, and you can have Goran at the max. Wade will take the pay cut necessary to stick around if he still wants to play after the contract's over. And you can build around those three guys plus Wade at the end of his career. You can. And you could be a successful team, and you could talk about getting back to the finals. So, listen, I think you could do some creative negotiating and not make it the max, and kind of show them that with the state tax here, you could really – it's beneficial to stay. But I'm not afraid of giving the max. And teams give max to players all the time that don't necessarily deserve it, and you can make it work. It's, if you need to keep the guy, you need to pay a little extra. It's just the way it is. That's business. That's business.
I want to close out the show with something that's going to happen in the future, but something that I think I don't know who was writing about it, about Durant to Miami. I think it was Bill Simmons. And obviously it's not a reporter or anything. It's just Bill Simmons doing Bill Simmons things. But, I mean, not that we can really put a percentage on it, but what do you think is the likelihood that that might happen? And again, this is a year in the future, and it's the end of the year, and this year sucked, and we just want to have a fun conversation. But what do you think? What do you think of that?
Less than 1%.
Huh?
Less than 1%, and that's me being
less than 1%.
I think I would not be. My mind wouldn't be blown if it happened, because Pat Riley is so amazing and it's great. But it's just, he cares so much about his public image, and coming to Miami would ruin that.
What?
It would. You saw what happened to LeBron.
If they don't win.
People would hate him for that. And I think he stays in OKC or he goes to Washington, and I'd put maybe the third option would be Miami. But that's so much farther down than those top two. I'd put it at
really
less than 1%.
Yeah, I'm with Jack. I don't know about that low, but my feeling was Durant to Miami kind of was – I was thinking about it when we cleared everything for 2016. Now with the probably Goran and Hassan staying and money – the money's not going to be there. Durant's going to want – I mean, with the cap, I don't know what the max is going to be. It could be $30, $35 million. So but if you really want to hear my third and final hot take of the day –
there, let's go.
I think Durant will stay in OKC. I was thinking Washington was an option.
Oh, that's
but
not
I think
they, Jack. I mean,
no. Hold on. You gotta let me finish. My hot take. I think Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love are gonna go play for the Lakers. I think that's my hot take. I think they're going home, but I think Durant will stay. And so yeah, I think Love's gone after this year. I don't think the Cavs are winning, and I don't think he wants to stick around. And I mean, he's less than the third wheel. People made fun of Bosh and everything that happened to him, but Love's been completely – they just took a dump on him this season, sitting in the fourth quarter, all that stuff. Love's leaving, probably going to L.A. They'll have to stick around with Kobe for 1 year, and then it's his team, and they'll bring over Russell Westbrook, which he played with in college.
Year. That'd be a long year, man.
I'm just telling you. That's my final hot take.
Can we talk about how Jack is no fun because he doesn't like Westbrook?
I don't like – mid-range.
You don't like.
I don't like his. I don't like pulling up for jumpers that you're terrible at. I like him.
It's fun.
I don't like him that much. It's not that much fun.
I'm.
It's fun that guy. He's awful when he's off.
No, I'm with Jack. I'm not a big Westbrook fan either.
Oh,
No. He's Westbrook is the most athletic. Listen. Westbrook's the most athletic player in the NBA. Period. End of story. There's no one else.
Most athletic human being on earth.
Maybe it's possible. But he's not the smartest basketball player, and that bothers me. I think there's a lot of things where, again, he's pulling up. He's not making the right pass. Him and Durant are constantly like. That's why I think he's leaving, because whatever he tells you, I know he wanted to make the playoffs. Westbrook loved this last part of the season without Durant. Loved it. You can see it.
Nobody had more fun than Westbrook.
And so
until they didn't make it, because he didn't look very happy.
No, but he loved, man, the triple doubles every night. The usage percentage.
Jack, why are you making faces?
Jack,
why are you making faces, man?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with him. I don't want to be put in the camp that I don't. I think Westbrook is highly effective. He's an elite level player. One of the best in the NBA, and Miami would be lucky to have him on the team. That said, I hate watching him.
That would be the greatest thing in my life. My life would be complete if Russell Westbrook came.
It would just be he'd be my Chalmers part two, man.
Oh my god, he's so fun. I don't know. I like watching him. Like, just let him run around and do it. Like, he's like Nova. He does whatever he wants. It's great.
He's an ultra talented athletic Chalmers.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. We need to end this before Mario Chalmers gets started. We have to.
No. Listen, we there are so many things that we could probably do an entire show on Chalmers.
That man. I can't believe he's still here.
I like him. I'm in the unpopular opinion that I like him.
He's great.
Oh, my God. Guys, we might never have to do this again after that. I mean, it's just, listen, you can't.
Right, 30 seconds on Chalmers. Go!
Super duper talented guy. At the same time, maybe the dumbest basketball player I've ever watched in my life.
Have you seen Kwame Brown?
Yeah, I remember these guys. No, seriously. That's my fourth and final hot take. And because of his stupidity, it leads to so many issues. The Chalmers special is the turnover and dump foul. I mean, it's just the Chalmers special. So
No, it's jumping into the pump fake. What are you talking about?
But I mean, there's so many. Seriously, that guy. Hopefully one more year. I'm hoping 2016 will be the end of Mario Chalmers. I thought it was going to be 2014, but
Jack, what's your favorite Chalmers mistake?
Chalmers mistake. I like him. I'm all for him. He makes obvious mistakes on the floor, but I think he's definitely been effective for Miami. He's Mr. Clutch. He's Mario effing Chalmers. He's
clutch.
Putting up 25 points in playoff games. He's saving it. Oh, sorry.
You just called Chalmers Mr. Clutch.
Yeah. Never.
I want to close out the show. Chalmers is in the top 10 in fouls. Where do you think he ranks?
In total fouls?
In total fouls, he's in the top 10. Where do you think he ranks?
I'm gonna go out and say lucky number 6.
Okay, Jack, what do you say?
I'm gonna say 4th.
He is 4th.
Wow.
And by the way, he's only trailing third place, which is Draymond Green, by 2 fouls, and second place Giannis by 3 fouls. So had he played in that final game, he very, very well may have gone to second place.
That's solid.
Someone needs to show him that stat and then slap him across the face.
Out of all the stats, and I did a manifesto on Dwayne Wade and a bunch of – that is my favorite stat of the year, Mario Chalmers, 4th in fouls.
That's absurd.
I believe he's the only point – he's the only guard in the top 20.
Of course. It doesn't even
– Wow. He's the only guard in the top 20.
I'm not kidding. If you want to do it, you can do it. Hand him the stat sheet and then slap him across the face. That's the only way it makes any sense.
How is he the only guard in the top 20? And he's like a lot more than other guys, like more than Hibbert. DeMar. He has more fouls than DeMarcus Cousins.
All right, I'll say it again because it seems it doesn't mean to sink you guys. He is the dumbest basketball player I've ever seen play, and that's why that makes sense.
Not the dumbest. He's not all there. I mean, hold on, wait a second. He's teammates with Michael Beasley. He's not even the dumbest guy in his locker room.
Look, Beasley's more of a goofball, right? I mean, he's like a lovable goof, but Chalmers is a dummy.
Okay, last thing. Promise. Real last thing.
Last.
Does Beasley stay? Yes or no? Harrison, you first.
Yeah, Beasley will stick around. I didn't love his game after he signed the after the two 10-day contracts. I thought he got a little lazy, but he showed that he can play. He can play defense. The ability to shoot, and yeah, he's a 10th to 12th man on this team. He'll be here next year.
All right, Jack, is he staying? Yes or no?
That's hard to say. It depends on how the offseason plays out. I think they might need him just for offense. If they don't bring in any shooters, they might need him. Depends on who they draft. I'm going to say yes because I love Beasley. I hope so.
Love Beasley?
He's just a character. He's awesome. He's a goofball.
Riley loves him, man. He's sticking around.
Yeah, they'll never get rid of
him. I want to admit one thing to both of you specifically and to the listeners. I was wrong about James Ennis.
Yeah, you were.
I'll eat that one. I was wrong. Yeah. I think I told Jack multiple times and you, Harrison, that he's not a good player. He's not an NBA player, and I had to eat that one.
You and my dad, man, I've been saying, God, give him a break. It's 25 games into his career. The guy's an athletic freak. He needs to work on his shot, needs to work on his dribbling, but he said that himself, and Ennis will have a pretty nice career.
The jury's still out on him, but I think he's proven that he can contribute.
He improved a lot.
And just give him time.
All right, guys. I thank you very much. We got to do it again. This was a lot of fun. And for all of you listening, Brian's really busy. Brian actually got a job at the Orlando Sentinel. So, yay, Brian. Good for him. So he's not going to be doing the podcast as often. Probably the offseason, we're going to do a couple more. And regular season next year, we're really going to do a weekly podcast. I'll do it with or without Brian. And we'll have guests like Jack and Harrison and, as you guys have heard before, Alex Solana. So we're going to get a rotating panel of guys on the show. Also, the website, I don't know if you guys have known this, we're relaunching. We actually hired a professional web designer. So we're going to relaunch the website, hopefully, in the off season. And just remember, if you are interested in writing, you know, you can tweet me or email me. Guys, you want to give out your Twitter handles before we go?
At Alfonso Hoops. A-L-F-O-N-S-O.
Harrison, you're going to have to spell yours.
Yeah, mine's at HL Citrin, so it's HLCYTRYN. That's it.
I'll include those in the descriptions, guys. Thank you very much. It's been an interesting season, for good and for bad. But it was a lot of fun. Thank you guys again for writing for the site. These are like the two. They're the OGs. They're the OGs. All right, guys. So take care, and I'll see. Talk to you guys again in the off season.
All right. Thanks for having us.
No problem. Thanks. Later, guys.
Bye.